Okay, today's daf is Shabbat daf Chaf Bet. More topics in Chanukah. We're at the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Bet at the two dots. Again, this shiur is for Refuah Shlema for everyone infected by coronavirus and for the zechut that we should see this virus pass b'mehira very, very soon. B'mir Tashem. Amar Rav Kana, Darash Rav Natan Bar Minyomi Mishmei de Rabbi Tarnchum. Right, so Rav Natan Bar Minyomi Darshan in the name of Rabbi Tarnchum, Ner Shel Chanukah, Sheinich Lamala Mechav Amma, Psula Kezuka Ukemavoy. Chanukah candle that was placed 20 amot high is pasul, similar to a sukkah and to a mavoy. I mean, this, by a sukkah, the schach can't be above 20 amot. And by a mavoi, the kura cannot be over 20 amot. It has to do, well, there's a big machloket as to what exactly it has to do, but we say that 20 amot is generally out of eyesight. It's generally, so if the purpose of the Ner Chanukah is pursuing it, so that people should see it and identify and recognize the mitzvah, no one's going to see it. That's above the height that most people normally look. Similarly, you're supposed to recognize that you're underneath the schach when it comes to sukkah. So if it's beyond your eyesight, you're not going to see it. That's at least one of the shitas, one of the opinions as to why it needs to be within 20 amot. Amar Rav Kana, Darash Rav Natan Bar Ben Yomi, just this has seemingly no relevance whatsoever, except for the fact that it is something that was darshened out by Rav Natan Bar Ben Yomi in the name of Rabbi Tanchum. Mai dichtiv v'haborek en bo mayim. What is that which is written? The pit is empty and there is no water in it. This is said by Yosef, Mechirat Yosef, when the brothers threw him into a pit. They said that he threw him into an empty pit and there was no water in it. That which you've already told me, that the pit is empty. Do I not know there's no water? So what are we supposed to learn from the fact that there's no water? It was empty from water specifically, but there are other things like snakes and scorpions. Right, so the Ner Chanukah, it's a mitzvah to place it within a tefach of the door. And where exactly you're supposed to place it? Rav Acha b'rei de Rava amar miyamin. So Rav Acha b'rei says you should put it on the right side. Rav Shmuel midifti amar mismol. Right, on the left side. Now, technically, all doors have, you know, right and left is pretty much your perspective based on where you're standing, but it's when you're entering. V'yuchta mismol. And the halacha is you should put it on the left side. That way the candle is on the left and the mezuzah is on the right and you're surrounded by mitzvot. That's the purpose. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi, Asur, La'atzot Me'o. Keneged Ner Chanukah. You're not allowed to count out money in front of Ner Chanukah. You're basically not allowed to use its light for mundane purposes. When I said that to Shmuel, I said that halacha, you're not supposed to use the light in the Ner Chanukah for mundane purposes. Amar Li, Shmuel said to me, V'chi Ner Kedusha Yeshba? Does this Ner have any inherent Kedusha? Like, no, there's no significance of it. Meaning, there are things that have Kedusha that you're not allowed to use improperly, like Hekdish. Things you say, this belongs to the Beit HaMikdash, that is intrinsic Kedusha, you're not allowed to use it. But we don't say that by a nair, so why would you have any concern about using its light? Matkifla Rav Yosef, but Rav Yosef challenged the Shita that there'd be, that it would be okay to use the light of the Ner Chanukah just because there's no inherent Kedusha. V'chidam Kedusha Yeshbo? Because does blood of an animal slaughtered have any Kedusha? The Tan is willing to write to V'shafach V'chisa B'mash Shafach Yichase Shalichasenu B'regel Shalayu Mitzvot B'zuyot Alav. Right? So we learn by Dam, by the Mitzvah of Kisoy Hadam, that when you slaughter an animal, you're supposed to cover up its blood. And when you slaughter an animal, you're supposed to cover up its blood, and you're not supposed to cover it in a degrading manner, right? You have to cover it up by hand. You take the dirt and you pour it over the blood. You're not supposed to just kick dirt onto it because that looks disgraceful, and you're not supposed to disgrace the mitzvah. And if that's a mefurish brayta, that you're not supposed to disgrace the mitzvah, you're supposed to show proper respect to the blood because it's a part of the mitzvah. Okay, well that blood doesn't have any inherent kedusha. We don't say that's hekdish. Still, you have to show respect for it. So too the same thing here. Hachanami. Right, so here too, by Ner Chanukah, there's no inherent kedusha, but I don't want to disgrace the mitzvah, so I have to. So I'm not going to use it the light for mundane purposes. By my name, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mahu lihistapek me noye sukkah kol shiva. Are you allowed to use the sukkah decorations during the chag itself? You hung something up as a sukkah decoration. Are you allowed to use that decoration now during the over the course of chag? Amarle hare amru asur la'atzot meot keneged Ner Chanukah. about, right? Didn't we just teach you that you're not allowed to count money in front of the Ner Chanukah? So it's clear you're not supposed to use mitzvah for other purposes. Amar Rav Yosef, Mare de Avram. This is like an expression, like Master of Avram, meaning like by God's name, or you know whatever the expression is. Tali Tanya, Bidlo Tanya, Sukkah Tanya Chanukah. I'm sorry, read that wrong. Tali Tanya, Bidlo Tanya, meaning you just tried to teach me a matter of a Tanaic principle from a matter that was not a Tanaic principle. You basically just tried to prove to me a Tanaic idea. You brought an Amora, you brought the opinion of an Amora to support the opinion of a Tana. It doesn't help to bring an Amora to support the opinion of a Tana. I care about what the Tana says much more than what the Amora says. Sukkah, Tanya. Chanukah, Lo Tanya. Right? By Sukkah, I have a Mefurish Breita that teaches me that I'm not supposed to use these decorations. Right? By Chanukah, I don't have a Breita that teaches me that. I only have an Amora who says that. So why do I think I'm helping anyone by bringing in the Shita of an Amora to help the opinion of a Tana? The Tanya, as we already learned in a Breita, Schacha Kehilchata, right? You put on the Schach, V'itra, Bikrami, V'sidini, Mitsuriari, V'talaba, Gozi, okay, so basically what we just said there is you put up the schach and you decorate it with all these different things and just listed different fruits and different, you know, different things you hang from the walls and hang from the schach and all these different things, and those are the decorations. You're not allowed to use those over the course of the chag, and that is a mefurish breita. So why is it that when I asked you the question about sukkah, whether you're not allowed, whether you're allowed to use them during the Chag, instead of teaching me a Breita that supports it, you taught me the Amoraic statement as it pertains to Chanukah to tell me what I need to do about Sukkah. And by the way, if you made a condition upon them saying, I'm using this as a Sukkah decoration, but I don't want to not be able to use this for other purposes, then you're allowed to follow whatever stipulation you made. Elam Rav Yosef, Avun Dekul Hutam. So Rav Yosef says, no, it's not that we're trying to learn out from... We weren't trying to learn from Chanukah, the statement of an Amora, to Sukkah, which is a statement of a Tana. Rather, we learn both of these things from blood. They're related just by the fact that they are both learned out from the fact that covering the blood teaches us that you're supposed to respect the mitzvah properly, even when there's no inherent kedusha. Itmar, we see that, by the way, in a number of other places, by the kavod given to the chefetz shel mitzvah. I mean, there's no inherent sanctity, there's no kedusha when it comes to tzitzit, right? You're allowed to bring tzitzit into the bathroom, obviously, but you shouldn't just throw them straight out into the garbage if they, you know, if they get worn out. You should at least, you know, wrap them in a bag. Other things we see like that just there's a chefetz shel mitzvah. There's a certain degree of respect owed to the mitzvah itself, even if there's no inherent kedusha. Itmar Rav Amar in Madlikin Mener Lener. You're not supposed to light from one candle to another. Shmuel Amar Madlikin. And Shmuel says you are allowed to light from one candle to the other. And now we're going to have two different interpretations of what exactly this machloket is. Rav Amar Ein Matirin Tzitzit Mi Beged LeBeged. Rav says you shouldn't use the tzitzit about this beged and just retie it. Like, oh, I like this beged better, I'm going to untie the tzitzit from this beged and put it onto that beged. Shmuel Amar Matir, and Shmuel says you're allowed to do that, mi beged le beged. Rav Amar Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon Begreira. Shmuel Amar Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon Begreira. So they have all, similarly they have a machloket as to whether or not we follow Rabbi Shimon Shita when it comes to Greira. The Gemara will discuss exactly what that means in a little bit greater length, and later in the Masechta we'll see it a little bit more in depth. But essentially it's the idea that if you're dragging a bench through your field on Shabbat and you have no intention of making furrows in your field, but obviously plowing your field is an issue. Are you allowed to drag a bench when that's not your intention, and granted that it might not even happen? That's what Rabbi Shimon says. If it's a davar shenemet kavin, you don't mean for it to happen, that's mutter. That's the machloka that they're having. Amar Rabbi, kol mili demar avid kirav. So Rabbi says, I always follow Rav Shita, lebar mehani tzlat, the avid kishmuel. And by the way, that's the three things that they have in common. If you're wondering why we brought in Greira here and why we brought in tzitzit here, it's because these are just the three things that we paskin like, or that Abaye paskins like Shmuel instead of Rav. Mehani, chus mehani tzlat, the avid kishmuel. Only these three things. Paskin like Shmuel, Madlikim Ener Lener, you're allowed to light from one candle to another, Matirim Beged LeBeged, you're allowed to untie Tzitzit and put them on a different Beged, V'alacha like Rabbi Shimon Begreira, and Alacha is like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to dragging a bench across the field, the Tanya is really not a bright Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gorer Adam Mita Kisa V'Safsal, right, you're allowed to drag a chair, a bench, and a bed across the field, B'Vashlo Yitzkaven Lasod Charetz, as long as you don't intend to make furrows in the field, Yati Vahu Mirabanan Kame Derav Adabar Ava. So a certain rabbi sat in front of Tana Rav Ada Bar Abba v'yativ. And then Rav Ada Bar Abba sat down with Kamar, and he said as follows: Tama de Rav. What is the reason for Rav? Meaning Rav and Shmuel have a machloket as to whether or not you're allowed to transfer from one nair to another. Mishum bizoy mitzvah. Is it because it's a disgrace to the mitzvah? Amar lehu lo tatzitu le Tama de Rav mishum deka machish mitzvah. Right. So no, it's not that it's a disgrace to the mitzvah. It's that it looks like you're taking away from the mitzvah. What exactly are the cases here? They're talking about disgrace in the mitzvah, taking away from the mitzvah. Well, disgrace in the mitzvah would be like this: if we're talking about lighting from one candle to the other, obviously you know fire can spread, but it kind of looks like you're taking away from one mitzvah in order to perform a different mitzvah. Rather, you shouldn't detract from one mitzvah for the purpose of a different mitzvah. You should bring a completely separate source of light to give the proper kavod to the second mitzvah, and not to kind of borrow or steal from the first mitzvah. It looks like you're taking something away, even though obviously you're not taking fire away from different fire, but that's what it looks like. That's what it appears to be, and so there's a proper respect not to take one light from the other. Alternatively, if you use something else to transfer that flame, that's when it is, that's when it's disrespectful. That's the first opinion. That's when it's a bizoy, that's when it's disrespectful, and the second one is when you're taking away from one mitzvah. So if, let's say, if you have to light like a match, right, to transfer it from one candle to the other, then essentially what you're doing is you're using a candle, which is being engaged in a mitzvah, to light a match, which is not engaged in a mitzvah. Now, ultimately, that match will light the second candle, and that is a mitzvah, but in the meantime, you're using a mitzvah candle to facilitate the lighting of something that is not a mitzvah, and that is a bizoy. Right, so Amar Lehu. One second, my Benayhu. So what's the practical difference between these two cases of the bizoy mitzvah or machish mitzvah? Whether I'm disgracing the mitzvah, or I'm taking away from the mitzvah. Iki Benayhu, they call madlik misharga lasharga. Right, so the nafkamina is whether you're allowed to light from one candle to another. Man damar mishum bizoy mitzvah misharga sharga madlik. So one who says that's because you're disgracing the mitzvah by using a nair mitzvah to light a stam match, right? So then candle to candle, that should be fine, because you're using one Ner mitzvah to light another Ner mitzvah. Mandam Rishum Akhushe mitzvah. The one who says it's because you are taking away from the mitzvah, Mishargal Chagra, Nami Asur. Seemingly you should not be able to light from one candle directly to another, because you have a similar problem of taking away. Mati Vrav Oya Sela Shel Maaser. So we're going to challenge the understanding of that machloket between Rav and Shmuel, right? We said the machloket between Rav and Shmuel is either when you're transferring it from one candle to the other, and the concern is machish mitzvah, taking away from the mitzvah, and the other is you're transferring from a candle to a match to a candle, and the concern is bizoy mitzvah. We're going to challenge the understanding of that brayta. Maser sheni ein shoklin kenegdo dinare zahav. You're not allowed to weigh out maser sheni opposite golden coins, right? Because Maser Sheni is involved in Kedusha, so you're not allowed to if you want to check the weight of your Maser Sheni coins to see if they're still at the original value, or they rubbed off at all, they're any lighter than they once were, you can't put them on a scale next to chulin regular money, because it's a bizayon to weigh kadosh holy sanctified coins opposite chulin coins. Vafilu Vafilu lichalel alav maser sheni acher, right? And even if the whole reason that you were weighing out the maser sheni money, or was to then transfer other maser sheni, right? Just to, we're all familiar with the concept of maser sheni. Basically, the fruits grown in certain years that you have to, that are yours, but you can only eat them in Yerushalayim. Sometimes it's harder to transfer all those fruits into Yerushalayim. So you would nullify their kedusha onto money, add a fifth, and then bring the money into Yerushalayim, and then eat fruit there. So if you're transferring other fruit onto this money, so that's why you need to check the weight of it. Even still, so ultimately, basically, why are we bringing this in? Because ultimately, you're measuring the kadosh money opposite the unkadosh money, and that's a bizayon. But wait 1 second. Even though I'm measuring this kadosh money opposite the not kadosh money, you might think that's disgraceful. I'm ultimately just doing that to see the weight of the money, so that I can be mechalel more maaser sheni. It's still facilitating my mitzvah. So why would it be a problem? I know I'm using chulin money right now, but I'm just checking how much money this is, so I can continue to do the mitzvah of maaser sheni. Even still, it's not allowed. Maaser sheni acher Emar Bishlama Ki Pligi Rav Shmuel Miner Lener. So if you want to say that it makes perfect sense. If you want to say that the machloket about between Rav and Shmuel is transferring from one candle to another candle, that's when they have the machloket. But if you want to say that the machloket that they're having is not from transferring candle to candle, rather it's transferring from a candle to something else, to another candle, and then Shmuel says that that would be allowed, then don't I have a proof that you're allowed to be, like, technically mivaze a mitzvah, use something not holy in conjunction with something holy, because it ultimately facilitates the performance of another mitzvah? So I'd have a significant problem for Shmuel's shita if this breita just taught me that I'm not allowed to use something mundane if it ultimately facilitates the performance of a different mitzvah. If I'm not allowed to do that, and I have a braita that teaches me that, Shmuel can't argue on that. So if you want to say that the argument between Rav and Shmuel is about transferring from flame to flame, I get it. That makes sense. Shmuel says it's allowed, and Rav says it's usur. But if you want to say that the argument is about transferring from a flame to a match to another flame, I have a braita that says I can't do that because it's ultimately facilitating, it's using something mundane in the process of facilitating another mitzvah. So that would be a tremendous difficulty for Shmuel Shita. Ela I amart bekisna nami shari hatehavi tiyuvta. But if you wanted to say, so if you say that Shmuel Shita is that you're allowed to use a match in between both candles, then this braita would clearly be a problem for him. Amar Rabba, gzeira shema lo yichaven mishklota v'kam mafik lu lechulin. Says, no, the problem is not, you're misunderstanding the problem here. The problem is not that it's a bizoy mitzvah, that we think that it's a bizayon, a disgrace to use something mundane in the process of doing this mitzvah. Rather, it's just that we're concerned that you're not going to line up your scales properly, and then you're going to think that your money is not enough, and ultimately you're not going to end up using this money for the mitzvah. If you're definitely going to end up using this money for a mitzvah, then we say that it's fine. However, we're concerned that you're not going to end up using the money for the mitzvah, and that's what we're concerned about. Mati Rav Sheshet Mechutz LaParocha Ta'edut Ya'aroch. Right, you have to set out you're supposed to set out the candles outside the parochet of testimony. Right, V'chi Le'orahu Tzarich. Does the Kadosh Baruch Hu need the light of candles? Fellow caller, Rabbi Mishana, shall who bnei Yisrael midbar lo alchu ela le'oro. The Kadosh Baruch Hu himself is light that Klal Yisrael walked in, to by God's light. All their process in the desert, all their time in the desert. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need anyone's light. Ela edut hi labai olam. Rather, the testimony is not for Kadosh Baruch Hu. The testimony is for the rest of the world. Shashchina shorav Yisrael. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu shchina is in the world. My edut. And what is this edut? Amar Rav zo ner ma'aravi. Right. That is the westernmost candle. By the way, we have not gotten to the reason we needed to bring this in yet. If you're confused of why we're bringing in this teaching, shenotein ba shemen kamidat chaverteha. Right. That the westernmost candle, you put in the amount of oil that you put in all the other ones combined. Umimena haya madlik, and you would light from this candle to all other candles. Uba haya mesayim, and you would finish upon that candle. V'ha hacha kevante kabai nerot lo sagya delo mashkil vadluke. Kasha, bein l'mandam reshum bizoy mitzvah, u bein l'mandam reshum achushay mitzvah. Right, what do we just say here? You can't move the candles. The oil, the candles, really, are just oil candles of the menorah, are not moved, right? But you still, says this this breita, you're still lighting all the other candles from the westernmost candle. How do you do that if you can't move the candles? Obviously, you light something else to continue lighting them, right? And that's a problem whether you hold that it's a bizoy mitzvah or a chushe mitzvah, whether you hold it's a disgrace in the mitzvah or it looks like it's taking away from the mitzvah, because obviously you are lighting a match from the westernmost candle to light the other candles. The candles can't move. How else are we supposed to understand that breita, which says that the westernmost candles light the other candles? No, we're talking about long wicks, in which case you can use the wicks to light it even though the candles don't move. Either way, the one who says that it's about taking away from the mitzvah, you have a difficulty. Granted, I understand that, okay, we're not lighting something else to light the rest of the candles, but still, you're taking from one candle to light the other ones. Kasha, yeah, it's difficult. My havela, amar Rav Huna, b'rei de Rav Yeshua, chazina I hadlaka ose mitzvah. Madlikin miner l'ner v'yanocha osel mitzvah ein madlikin miner l'ner. Okay, so what's the halacha at the end of the day? Okay, so we have to check the following, right? Does hadlaka osel mitzvah or hanacha osel mitzvah? What's the difference? Hadlaka osel mitzvah is to say that I perform the mitzvah the moment that I lit the candles. Hanacha osel mitzvah is that I perform the mitzvah by putting the candles in their proper place in the proper time. But the actual act of lighting was not what performed the mitzvah itself. So if you want to say that hadlaka osel mitzvah, then the moment that the candle was lit, the mitzvah is already performed. In which case, I'm allowed to take from that candle and move it to a different candle because I already did the mitzvah. If hanacha osa mitzvah, meaning it being in the right place, is the mitzvah, then as long as it is in the right place in the right time, it is still actively performing the mitzvah, and then you're taking from one mitzvah. But if hadlaka osa mitzvah is just by lighting, you've already accomplished the mitzvah, then I'm allowed to take from that candle because the mitzvah was already performed. De'ibaya lehu hadlaka osa mitzvah o hanacha osa mitzvah, right? Tashma. Alright, so let's, what's the answer? I mean, is it hadlaka osa mitzvah, that lighting it does the mitzvah, or hanacha osa mitzvah, putting it in the right place, having it in its right place is doing the mitzvah. So Tashma, come in here, proof. Amar Rava, haya tafus ner chanukah ve'omed lo asav lo klum. Right? If you had just held up the ner chanukah in place, you're standing in the middle of the room, you haven't done anything, you haven't performed your mitzvah. Right? Shma mina hanacha osa mitzvah, that sounds like hanacha osa mitzvah, because there you lit it, but you didn't put it in the right place. Hatam haroe, omer letzor kohu denakit la. No, the problem there is that anyone who sees this is assuming that you're using it for your purposes and not for Ner Chanukah purposes. That's the problem. Not to say that there's no kiyum whatsoever. If you do that, the problem is the onlookers are going to assume that you're doing it for you, and they're not going. It's not going to be a presumed nisa tashma. So let's come in here and prove that the opposite is true. That maybe it is hadlaka the osa mitzvah. The Amar Rava hidlika bifneim votzia lo asav lo klum. Right? If you lit it inside and then you brought it out, you haven't done anything. So if you want to say that hadlaka is what accomplishes the mitzvah, so then, you know, it was clearly you need to light it in its proper place if the hadlaka was osa mitzvah, right? So if you have to do it by the door, so that's where you should be lighting it, because that's where the mitzvah is done. But if you light it inside and then you bring it outside, you haven't done anything because you didn't light in the proper place, even though you placed it in the proper place. Mishum hachi lo asa klum, ela iyamar hanacha osa mitzvah. But if you want to say that the hanacha is what accomplishes the mitzvah, amai lo asa velo klum, right? Why is it considered as if you had done nothing? Hatam nami haroheh u omer latzorko hu the adlaka. No, there also, the problem is not intrinsically. The problem is not that, oh, you didn't light it in the proper place, so we say that you did nothing. The problem is, if you don't light it in the proper place, people are not going to realize that this is a Ner Chanukah. They're going to think you just lit it for your own purposes. Tashma, the Amar of Yeshua ben Levi, Ashashit shahaita doleket veholechet kolayom kulo. So a lantern that was lit and going all day. Lemotzei Shabbat mechaveu madlika. After Shabbat, you can put it out and then relight it, and that is going to be your Ner Chanukah. Emar bishlama hadlaka is the mitzvah. So if you hold that the hadlaka is what creates the mitzvah, Shapir. Okay, then that makes a lot of sense because you just have to put it out and relight it, and then you were yotzei Ner Chanukah. Ela emar hanacha is the mitzvah. But if you said that the point is you have to put it in its proper place, hi mechaveu madlika. Right? So it should have said, instead of just saying that you put it out and then relight it, it should say you put it out, you relit it, or you put it out, you lifted it up, you relit it, and you put it back down so as to establish that you're doing a proper hanacha for the sake of the mitzvah. The fact that it didn't require you to do a hagbiyah and a hanacha to lift it up and put it back down so that your hanacha, you're placing the candle in the right place, is a part of your performance of the mitzvah. I know that the hanacha is not a significant portion, part of accomplishing this mitzvah, so I can learn conclusively from there that it's hadlaka osa mitzvah, that just lighting it is what accomplishes the mitzvah, and not putting it in its proper place.